Fife fans, welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a few mates talk about anything and everything that takes their interest. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
James, you're usually the colour man here.
I know, but
what the fuck is the deal?
Where's the hype, James? Where's the hype?
I don't know, man. Just Avengers, man. Just when you really think about it, everything's futile, and why are we even here, guys?
Well,
wait a minute, Jamie. This is very much our wheelhouse. you can't have people moving into what Jamie and I do best.
We'll be off this podcast before you know it. James is versatile. He's an actor. He can play anything.
Yeah, you're screwed. Yeah.
Holy shit! You were the only thing I was clinging on to in life.
With your Benjamin Button ageless looks.
You are his sunshine, his only sunshine.
Oh, indeed. So, yeah, talk about Fife Club.
I'll come in one day with a moustache and ball. I was like, fools, I was 82 all along.
No, you won't. No. So, we are back for season 4, episode 60. If you've been with us for every episode so far, that is roughly about 82 hours of this utter bullshit. I commend you, brave souls.
And I can pass you the number of the Samaritans. There's help.
But in all seriousness, we do thank you for coming back and joining us again for more of our grade A nonsense from your favourite Fifers.
Would you say we're grade A?
Grade A bullshit.
Yeah, grade A.
I think we're grade C bullshit.
That's fair. That is actually fair.
Yeah.
But we will be
C
doing
for
this.
And that's the first C bomb of the new series. Someone had to unleash it.
We were starting off in a Facebook group recently where someone's like, oh, he said the C word. It's like, you Americans, you're so adorable. Yeah.
Like you're all no good cunts.
It's like you have no idea. No idea.
Well, that's good. We've had the C bomb dropped many a time so far.
It'll be dropped many more.
We will be here for as long as either A, we can be bothered, or B, you can be bothered. It's always appreciated, though.
This is very much a standoff between us and you, listener. who's gonna blink first? Admittedly, it should be you.
Yeah, what are you doing here?
And yet the numbers keep rising.
We're negging our listeners. Yeah.
We're gonna change. So I'm gonna change the rule. First rule of Fife Club is leave now. Leave as quick as you can.
If you would like to talk.
Well, see, that's funny because if you can be bothered, then we would appreciate you spreading the word, sharing our posts, website, and all of that good stuff. Jamie, my good man, where can they find us to do so?
Oh my God, no notes. Pressure. Please talk to us on www.fiveclub.co.uk, new website incoming.
Mm-hmm.
On Instagram, Fife Club, Twitter, @FiveClub, on Facebook, @FiveClubPod.
Yeah, Fife Club Pod, yeah.
And or www.facebook.com/FiveClubPod.
That's the one. Thank
or,
you.
And email Ken at FiveClub.co.uk.
Amazing.
Yes.
God, she didn't do any introductions.
Just you wait there.
Shit the duck.
So with that over and done with, let's get on with the show.
Nice.
On the mics tonight with my good self, Kutch, is Fife Club's own God of Thunder, because like Thor, he also has a tool that only he is worthy enough to wield. It's Jamie.
And what a mighty tool it is, Jamie.
I am mighty. It is mighty.
There's many a person that's tried to lift it, but aren't capable.
It's too heavy.
So.
It's too heavy.
Ironically, I was going to say it's also been forged by dwarves.
Yeah.
So
I also do that. You know when Thor goes to fly?
You spin me right round, baby, right round. Oh, I've got tears already. So next to him,
there's a lot of great jokes. Oh no, actually.
Yeah, well, next to him is our very own living tree person. As like Groot, he also can grow his own wood. It's Mark.
Thank you. Not often. Not at this age. Frankly, when it happens, I'm just pleased.
You've got a bit of ED these days,
haven't
you?
Yeah. Why not?
you've got an X on you, like those trees that are going to get chopped down because yeah. you're diseased.
Hey, it's been a while since I've been to the gum clinic, Jamie. That's
how much fungus is on there?
All as a result of lack of use.
Yeah. Well, good luck in getting any dates or action or anything after this.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So across from him is the Rocket Raccoon of the podcast. He's small and furry and can speak to Mark's wood. It's James.
It's not talking back.
It's not talking back, not at all.
It only spits.
Oh my word.
I've gone full blue tonight.
You really have.
I'll take that. I've got a catch as well. I was going to say, well, seeing you've got the t-shirt on, like your regular, everyday, favourite neighbourhood Spider-Man, he is sticky and slings his web anywhere he pleases. It's Kutch. Yeah.
He does, very much. Sort of like in a pot plant as well, like very Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, no.
That's Lucy Kate.
Wait a minute.
Or was it both?
I don't know.
No, Lucy Kate was the one that... Yeah. Oh, I'm sitting close to the mic.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know where I was going with that.
That really is one of the biggest number of knob jokes I've heard in a long time, Kutch.
Yeah, I know. Really, I thought I would go for it.
Yeah, really, really excellent.
You came strong.
Yeah, no, you really. That's. It sounds like that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it was for this one. I thought let's go for a theme: superheroes and knobs. Yeah.
Crack on, then.
Well, we're all a bunch of dicks doing this podcast anyway, so...
No, we have the desert island of dicks as well. Yeah. Possibly coming up later. Hello, listener.
Good luck, listener.
Spoiler.
Do you feel sexy now?
So you might have noticed there's a bit of a theme to the introductions, as I said, superheroes, specifically Marvel superheroes. And it's because, well, what came out last weekend... One of the biggest Marvel films so far.
Oh, I thought you were going to say James. Which we're all very supportive of.
As an 82-year-old man. Yeah. Disguised as a child.
Yeah. This is starting to sound very brass-eyed.
Yeah. It is. He's a school.
I have my Spanish lover Ricardo with me.
But yeah, so that film came out and we've all been to see it. And we thought we've not done a movie review for a wee while, I think.
Star Wars was the last one. This is so, way better.
Was it?
Out of the gate. I thought it was.
I think it is, but then I'm totally biased.
Yeah. Star Wars was absolute shite. It was absolute dog shite.
I enjoyed that film a lot. But, will we do a quick round of spoiler-free reviews? And then we'll just start spoiling the shit out of it. So if you've not seen it, maybe just turn off.
Yeah.
Maybe come back next week.
Or when you've seen it, come back.
Yeah.
So
yeah, fuck the spoiler-free stuff.
Yeah, what's that?
We're gonna
just a very quick spoiler-free, just quick thoughts. So that way, if anybody is thinking about going to see it, you know, they can turn off now and go see it. And then
is this
back.
A sort of like... There's a UFC fighter who is every big film that comes out. He did it with Star Wars, mm-hmm. and he's done it now. He does the hashtag... And he hashtags other things, like he hashtagged the NFL draft because it was the same night with loads of Avengers spoilers. People lose their shit. It is absolutely hilarious. It's so funny.
Top trolling. Top trolling.
Well done. So, yeah, my thoughts. Good film. It was balls to the wall. Like, no exposition.
There was no wasted time.
If you've not seen at least half of the films... You'd be lost, I think, straight off the go. But what it did well. I think it managed to tell that story and get it to its logical end without feeling the need to go back and retell the story or retell the many stories. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, it was a true culmination of 10 years of films.
Mm-hmm. They would have only got away with it because they've had those 10 years of films.
Yeah, and Penman might have a slightly different vibe.
But that's then fine. When you look at something like the Justice League and it's something that's just been hodgepodged and rushed together, then you look at how the Avengers and the whole Marvel cinematic universe franchise has been built, they do it right. But you can't rush something like this. You can't just go, here you go, here's all the superheroes you want. Mm-hmm. The way that Marvel's done this, and there's all different pieces to the puzzle, and how you have to have watched all of the films. You know, not necessarily have to, but a lot of them, the majority of which you want to be caught up on.
Especially
but,
the most recent ones.
Yeah, especially the most recent ones, for sure. But, like, you get that impression you have to watch every film, whereas things like Justice League, Suicide Squad, I could have just came in them completely blank and not really worry too much about it.
Right, can we go in spoilers now?
Well, what's your thoughts?
Rough thoughts are that it was the first 20 minutes. It was reverse of a lot of films. I usually enjoy the first 20 minutes of almost any film. Mm-hmm. This one, I had hated the first like 10, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just fucked me off. And then at a certain point, I started to enjoy it, but I still think the film had a lot of problems. A lot. But I still enjoyed it as like a popcorn sort of film. But yeah, it wasn't as good as the Russo Brothers' other Marvel films. Nowhere near.
Interesting. Mark?
Yeah, more on the side with Jamie. I think like it probably, again, not because I'm not a huge fan of this stuff. Like I will watch most of them. I've not seen all of them, all of the recent ones. I've certainly not seen Black Panther, which everyone said was really good, which is a shame that I missed.
Although
that
I don't
one.
Think you needed to see that for this. No,
no, I didn't really feel up too
well,
much of that.
Well, I've got a wee thing about that.
Okay,
so
cool.
Thank you.
So, I think with same with Jamie, I think there was lots of, it was kind of like, I think for a fan, it's a bit of a box ticking exercise of the people you wanted to see. It's like, that person arrives, which is cool. Like Marvel kind of relies on that, like dedicated fan who likes the nostalgia, who likes to be rewarded by exactly what they think is coming. You see a silhouette in the background, you kind of know who it is, you feel that warm fuzzy thing inside. But I think
see, that's what I didn't get with this.
Yeah,
I didn't get any of that. Oh, and the emotional stuff didn't have any weight for me.
Well, yeah, and I agree. Much weight. That's because I don't think it necessarily held together as a film.
I agree.
Well, I think some emotional bits got me, but I think knowledge of what's to come, maybe I'm going too much in the spoiler territory.
Yeah, we should probably
maybe we should shoot a warning on this.
So that's fine. We've had a rough talk. So if if you are going to go and watch it, go watch it. If you don't care about spoilers and you don't care about this, then you can keep listening or not. Just whatever. So
five, we're going to go into 4, 3, 2. Fuck you, it's spoiler time, bitches.
Right, so Bruce Willis is a ghost.
So I'm gonna back into my point then, just to finish that off, since we're now in spoiler territory, is there's a lot of things that you know is gonna come up in the universe over the next couple of years, like the Spider-Man film, Doctor Strange film.
Yeah.
So a lot of the impact through the film, towards the end especially, I don't want to go into it too soon, but I felt that was lost a little bit for me.
Well,
I was kind of like, do we need to see that? I know there's like an end game to this whole thing, and that's what really that's drawn me back to see it. But that I didn't feel as like I did feel a bit emotional about how it all went down. But I felt it could have been a bit more of a punch in the gut if I didn't know these films were coming out.
I don't think you're meant to have that much. It's a difficult one. So let's go from it from sort of beginning. Jamie, what was the story?
Well, do you want to do a story? Because I have I have shit I don't like about it that I think I should focus on.
Yeah. So the basic premise is there. Basically, it's Lord of the Rings to a certain extent, where there's a bunch of your like main characters all get split off into different bits, who all in various different ways are trying to fight this incredibly powerful bad guy who basically just wants to get bling for his wrist. Right? Loves gemstones, lovely, puts them in a gauntlet, very Kim Kardashian, right? I think that's all cool. And then they just go off in their little adventures and little... They split off into non-traditional groups so that you get people with people you don't necessarily expect them to be with. And then they all... In the end, it's supposed to all sort of be one big narrative and everyone's playing their own little part in it. Yeah. And like I say, it is like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. It's actually... Yeah. That's something that I've not thought about, but that's a pretty good...
Except Lord of the Rings did it well.
I would say Thanos as well is like a modern day an intergalactic Malthus who thinks that we should be reducing population to stop, you know, stop,
popular. Can we do it? Can we do that very quickly? Because actually, the one thing I thought was really successfully done, maybe overdone, I don't know, but I've never seen a superhero film where they actually look at a bad guy in that kind of way.
I thought they mostly did it quite well, but I think they overplayed that just a wee bit.
Yeah, so much
so that Thanos, like, I didn't ever root for Thanos.
No,
but I kind of thought I don't really care because they've made you so normal now, but you don't seem to care about what you're like. He didn't have any vitriol about what he was doing. Yeah. He was just doing it because he thought
It was almost like he did it out of a level of sadness or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Which was going to happen? Because they ask him during the film. So what after that? It's like, well, I'm just gonna sit in my farm.
And you see him do it at the end.
Yeah. But that's all comic book stuff as well.
Yeah.
That happens. But what you're saying about Thanos is like they gave him a bit of levity and kind of a bit more of a reason to what he's doing in the film.
It's more than the traditional, you do it because you're bad.
Yeah, I've never got all that much from him in the comic books. So the story's different in the comic books. In the comic books, he is out to destroy half the universe, but the reason he's doing that is because he's in love with Hela, who is Thor's sister, basically the god of death. She's death.
And she quite sexy from Thor Ragnarok as well.
And well, he has the hots for her and wants to impress her, so this is why he does it. That's his whole thing. And it's just, that's it. It never really
that
goes
feels any, a bit shit.
Yeah, it never really goes all that deep into it.
Can I just say that is one hell of an example of peacocking. Right there. And as we all know, Dunfermline's resident peacock is pregnant as well. It? So happy days, guys.
Really?
Happy days.
Oh, amazing.
Sorry, local news just briefly. But absolutely.
There is a thing on Twitter about lots of people saying, is anybody else attracted to Thanos? He's thick. THIICC.
Not Thanos. You know the one that I've been reading about is Ebony Maw.
Is that his weird, creepy guy?
Yeah, that takes Doctor Strange. Apparently, there's a whole load of people that have Twitter that have a thing for the Ebony Maw.
Do we need another fanfic section?
He was the only bit that felt like a traditional bad guy.
So do you know what? He's in the books as well. He's one of my favorite of the children of Thanos. He's fucking ruthless, and he's a brilliant character. He has a bit of depth to him, but he kind of did all right. But again, those characters were a bit bowled over. That's what I would say.
There was so much going on. Do you know what it felt like? But they didn't have the same impact. Mm-hmm. See, actually, when I started to enjoy the film was when Tony went outside of the sanctum.
Yeah,
and that's when it started to feel a bit more like a Russo Brothers film. Mm-hmm. And there's like the cameras following him.
Yeah.
But I was like, okay, I'm into it now. And then I started enjoying it. But when they were coming down, it felt very much like Zod. And General Zod and what we call him.
Kneel before Thanos.
That's what I felt like.
So a question for you then, Kaj. Uh-huh. Is that film based on a comic book series?
Again, all of the Marvel stories are based upon a comic book run. At some time, usually one of the major events in either a character or the whole Marvel shtick.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron, Civil War, what else? Winter Soldier, whatever. If there's a title to a film, it's come from a comic book. However, the stories are usually very different.
Yeah.
Elements have been taken from them. But that's because it works, because in the comic books, you can have a story and there's so much going on, but that's fine because you can tell that story in a comic book and you can have mental stuff happening because you've had 70 years of lore.
And you also have an infinite level of print run to continue the story.
To keep doing that.
As opposed to 2 hours and 40 odd minutes, which felt
they've changed a lot. They've changed some of the way, changed a lot of the characters. But then the characters are continually changing in the books as times move on. So that's why it's been like the whole sort of comic book hero thing in movies has worked quite well is because they've been able to take them and modify them to the times that we're in. And
do they not also just modify them to the actors?
I think
as well,
because
that's why surely Tony Stark is the big thing in it. Because, fairness, that's probably the bit I thought was least interesting.
It has a back and forward effect. So since the films have come along, Stark's become more like Downey Jr. and Downey Jr. Stark in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Steve, Captain America, I think they've actually managed to get the characterization quite well back and forward, so there's not much of a change. You've got characters like Agent Coulson, who was in the first couple of films, and then he's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He wasn't a character. He was a character built and designed for the films. He's now in the comic books. Black Nick Fury.
Well, Nick Fury was always a bit...
Well, he was white. He was white. And then...
He's kind of tanned.
No, he was always white.
He was tanned in the 90s.
I remember
he was
being
a white character.
I remember being
black. I used to think he was Cuban or something.
No, he was white.
Okay.
He was white as white
very
can be.
Very tanned.
Nick Fury had a lot of flavor.
Sam Jackson,
Sam Jackson came along, they put him in the role, and everybody was like, yeah, absolutely, you know, brilliant. Like, great casting, because his persona filled the Nick Fury character really well. And then that changed that in the comic books. You've now got Nick Fury as a Sam Jackson character.
You say, like, motherfucker, every, like, 2 minutes.
Oh, that was great at the end.
That was such a good touch.
They've done that sort of thing where the films have influenced the comic books influenced the films. Some of the characterizations and whatnot. I've forgotten my thread.
I better start again in terms of one of the things I thought again was good about it is that I think there are some characters in this that are just necessarily a bit boring. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Captain America didn't work outside of the period setting of the first kind of film. You know, that sort of Origins one of Captain America, World War II. I thought that kind of worked as a time and place. And I think outside of that, I think he just runs around, jumps a bit, punches folk and throws a shield around. And ultimately that's quite poor.
Yeah, I like what they do with Captain America. On a similar note, I like what he did with him. Like, so I think I didn't like this film as much was because the Russo brothers, in my mind, have done the two best Marvel films, which are Civil War and Captain America Winter Soldier, which felt more like political thrillers almost.
Political spy thriller.
But they had Captain America doing stuff like, not crazy inhuman stuff, but stuff a super soldier could do, like hold a helicopter. Yeah. You know, that was cool.
That's right. It's when you have that comparison with something inordinately powerful.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you're just quite a strong bloke.
Yeah. This is one of the big things is like, in the comic books, it's the super soldier serum, and he is kind of like, he's a strong bloke, but he's super strong. Right. Where in this, it is about him more being that he's super fast, super strong, but he is just a normal guy.
Yeah.
But then there's all sorts of things. Is he actually maybe cosmically a super guy for a reason?
You know, sort of like Noel Edmonds with his drawings on his hand.
Something like
that's
that.
A shield. It's just a Noel Edmonds.
Or is it like a Star Lord situation where there is maybe something about him that, you know, but the whole super soldier serum thing is an added on top. You know, that they keep toying with this question in the films, and they kind of have done in the comic books. But I mean,
but that's the thing. Like this film, I was expecting that it was more of a film I hoped it wasn't than the film I hoped it was, because if it was okay as a like sort of popcorn action film, the choreography in it actually was excellent.
Yeah.
I don't think they hopped around from stuff a bit, but that didn't seem to quite work for me. The thing I was talking about, Steve Rogers doing Cap doing, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. I liked how they had Thor doing like strength trials, which is what Thor should be doing.
Yeah.
Strength trials and space stations and shit. But at the same time, I don't think this film, unlike Civil War and Winter Soldier, I could happily recommend it to people who hadn't seen any of the Marvel films and who didn't even like superhero films. I'd say these are, I actually think these are good films just as as films. Forget the whole superhero element.
And
whereas
similarly,
this, I couldn't do that with this at all.
And I agree.
You can't though.
And I agree. Yeah. I was going to say, for me, like again, coming from someone who enjoys it, and again, I enjoy it in that more popcorn-y type way, but I absolutely think the most successful, I probably disagree with you on what the most successful ones in my mind are, but to me, the most successful films have been the most outrageously stupid and camp and
that as well.
High camp ones in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Like Thor Guardians is of the Galaxy. Utterly ridiculous, but it works. Like there's some reason why Thor absolutely works, why Thor is the best thing in this again as well.
See, like, I agree with Jamie. Where I think probably my two favorites are Winter Soldier and Civil War. Winter Soldier is just it's such a strong film, like start to finish. But where you were saying about Captain America, he's just a strong man. What they did quite cleverly with the other two films, and even with that film, is that he's not just himself. It's the sum of all parts. Mm. The second film is very much like a mini Avengers S.H.I.E.L.D. film.
Yeah.
He's a soldier of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's got Scarlet Witch, he's got Falcon.
It's like Avengers 2.5.
Yeah, that is. But also, 1.5, that one.
But you're right. They team him up against an appropriate leveled adversary.
Oh, yeah, 2.5, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, they team him up with other people and they pit him against a similarly leveled adversary.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? In that sense, it's kind of sensible.
SGP.
What did you
GSP,
like?
Sorry.
What did you like about the film, Coach? What do you think it did well?
This film, I think, one of the things I really liked about it is that it didn't spend any time on exposition. Explaining what's going on.
There was very minimal bits. The only bit I can really think of exposition was the bit when Bruce Banner is talking to Doctor Strange and Tony Stark about Captain Thanos. America.
That's in the first like 15 minutes.
Where it's you might not know, but we're not talking anymore.
Yeah.
And that to me was one bit of exposition that I remember. But the rest of it, you're quite right, I think.
I mean, it picked up basically right off the back of Thor Ragnarok. After the extra scene on that, it started right there and it just didn't stop. And it just kept going. Now, I think that could be a problem for the general movie-going public.
Because I cannot be arsed waiting through the end credits to watch the little thing. Like, I sat there the other day and I was like, everyone says you're supposed to wait. And I was just like, do you know what? I can't be fucked. I've done with the movie now. I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing
that. You know what? Like, this is the only Marvel film which I thought would be forgivable to not have a post-credit scene.
Yeah,
I think you could have just left it as it was. I know there's a reason why they done it, but I think leaving that little bit of extra, you know, emotional, what's the word I'm looking for?
Heft.
Yeah. Like, have nothing. I was like, well, we've just lost.
What did happen in the end bit?
You know exactly what.
So basically, it goes to New York, and it's Fury and Hill in an SUV. And
Fury and who?
Hill, Maria Hill.
She's
the. He's number two from original Avengers film.
And then so, this is just as the...
Aye, so it's obviously the Thanos has clicked his fingers and people are starting to disappear.
Yeah.
But they're talking
there's
about...
a car crash, planes are falling out of the sky
and it's
shit.
Sort of like there's a wee bit of stuff where it's like, oh, have we found Stark yet? No, there's been a massive energy signature in Wakanda. All right, okay. And then suddenly there's a car just spins out of control. They jump out and they're like, what's going on? And Maria Hill runs and sees that there's no drivers. And then there's a helicopter spins out of control and hits a building. And then people start fading away round about him. Maria Hill fades away and he's like, oh shit, and
motherfucker
runs, he runs to the car.
That is pretty much what
runs
happens.
To the car, opens the car, like there's a wee thing he pops out,
it's like a pager.
Pulls out a pager, like a modified pager, and starts hitting it, but then starts fading away, and as he starts fading away he goes, motherfuck.
Which
the
was
pager,
really funny.
Yes,
it's
comes
down. All right,
pager drops to the ground, and there's a number saying, it's just like saying sending, and then it's like symbol. Received, and then it's a symbol, and it's the Captain Marvel symbol. So he sent a message to Captain Marvel, and that's the next film, the next one's Ant-Man and Wasp.
Next one. Captain Marvel was the next one. No, 2 months before
Ant-Man and Wasp was the next one.
Yeah, correct.
And
yeah.
then Captain Marvel.
And Captain Marvel is based in the '90s as well.
It's a nineties film, which is why it was a pager. So I don't know if there's time travel going on or if she's out in space somewhere.
But I don't even know who Captain Marvel is.
Well, you're gonna find
you
it.
Will.
It's gonna be, oh, it's
she's
gonna
one of my Spidey's my favorite Marvel character, but Captain Marvel's one of my all-time favorites as well.
I love how it's like this whole thing, like, when you think about it, it's like, you go back to the beginning of the Avengers initiative and all that, it's like, why was she not the first fucking person you go to?
Well,
I wonder if that'll be explained in the films, I'd imagine.
Well, I mean, there's been a lot of thoughts about this, because she's got cosmic power and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the things is that, kind of, the first film, the Avengers have got it.
Yeah.
You know? They've got it. You can see they've got it. Is not
I don't mean it in a filmmaking sense.
No,
I just
mean
it in a logic sense.
Yeah, in a logic sense is that well, they've got it. You know, he's not got to the point where he's needed to contact her yet.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron, they've got it. He's not got to the point where they've needed to contact her. This film, Stark's missing, shit's gone down in Wakanda and people are starting to disappear. It's time to call Marvel.
See, since we're talking about people fading away, can we talk about that and why
it doesn't work?
Yeah. So first of all, I was like...
The 50%.
No, well, it's not that. It's like, so when it was happening, at the first few, I was like, oh, it's a bit shit. But the problem with it is, with him killing everyone, it didn't have any... It only had a very small amount of emotional weight for me. It didn't have much because you already know Doctor Strange looked into the future and has said, oh, there's only one way. And then just before he fades away, he says, this was the only way or something
right,
like that.
But do you know what?
So you know he's looked into the future and gone, oh, we all have to die. And then you're going to bring almost everyone back, if not everyone,
so I think,
in some future event.
I think like...
Because he's got a Deus Ex Machina machine in his Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
It's fucking annoying.
But I think for like you and me, maybe, like we kind of know that we know there's a fourth film. We know... that there's other films coming out and that these people are going to come back.
Hold the what? Fucking bus there.
What?
You know people are going to come back because it's fucking comic books and nobody ever
dies.
Fucking
no,
dies.
No. Yeah. However, but again, that's because we know that, right? Not everybody does. It's not a universal. No. Honestly, see, in the cinema, when we were there, it was a packed cinema and it got to the end and it was evident that people... weren't expecting there to be another part. They were expecting a full story completed.
I suppose they
and
did
what
drop
happened
the part one and two, didn't
was,
they? From
there
the
was literally a row of people that just threw their arms up and went, what? And it was just like, you actually didn't see that coming? See, because again, the emotional weight of it was taken out of it for me because I knew...
But even without that, the Doctor Strange thing seems like an obvious point.
It does, but I don't think...
Where he was like, there's only one solution.
Again,
oh, look, we all died. And he says, oh,
this
had to happen. And he says something to that effect.
So what it is... So what?
When it loses the story, it's like, this
but
is
again,
the end game. But
from what I've been reading, people haven't picked up on that.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I know. But so the point where he said there's only one solution, right? And then
the final solution.
But then because
fucking
dark
hell.
Jesus. But because
he trims the rest of his goatee away
on a universal scale.
Nazi Doctor Strange.
Because partway through the film, there's the whole bit between him and Tony where he says, "If anything happens to you or the kids, I will not save you."
Yeah.
Which is like that's the bit which seems to have confused people. So he said, "I will not save you."
Yeah.
I will not do it. This is the most important thing. So when it gets to the point when he gives up to save Tony's life, it's like there's a double bluff in there that people aren't seeing.
Exactly.
But then what he says should be a clue. He says, we're into the end game now.
Yeah.
But again, people just think, I think what a lot of people are thinking is, oh, it's going to be the end game, and it's going to finish, and they're going to get the glove, and Thanos will be dead, and this will be what's happening.
It's not that.
But
actually...
I think for a vast majority of people, there's a hell of a lot of emotional weight coming out of that because they didn't expect it. They just didn't expect it.
And well, even at least to that magnitude of how many characters are affected, like main characters are affected by such an outcome.
I like how it's only really core Avengers left.
Well, it's not even core, that. It's, I mean,
well, it is. It's,
well, you've got
Captain America, Iron Man.
Hulk, Black Widow. Oh, look, Core Avengers. Probably
Hawkeye,
Ant-Man, and
Rocket.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Dora Milaje.
So core Avengers.
And there's some people there.
Which Avengers have died?
Have any of them died? Thor still there.
No, he's not.
No, not original. Right. Black, no, none of them.
None, that's my point. They've stripped it back to the original Avengers plus some new people because they can't bring Ant-Man and Wasp and Captain Marvel and whoever else with all these other characters as well. So we're like, we'll just wipe this, like, fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. It's so we can get the next bunch in. Exactly. Yeah,
but it's also what I like is what that does is it gives us a more narrowed film. It gives us something where we can go back to, rather than it being balls to the wall, like bang, 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 all over the place. This next one, it'll probably have more heft because they're gonna go small and you're gonna have main Avengers die.
So you are. See, that's the thing. You're gonna get almost everyone back who went away. But either Tony or Cap's going to die. Yeah. Well, one of them.
Or both, because this is the last film.
I would love it if both died. Great.
Yeah, me too.
Well, totally. This is the last film for Robert Downey Jr. and...
it's the last film he's...
For Chris Evans.
That we know of.
Yeah. Chris Evans said he's out.
But they both said they want to go into further things. They're not really fully interested in doing this.
Apparently Downey Jr. is desperate to do another Sherlock Holmes
film. Yeah.
Which is actually something that I did quite like, was the whole thing where they teamed up the two Sherlock Holmes together. That was kind of like,
cheeky.
That's fun. But also, I like the pairing of those. I think the pairing of the different people that they got worked quite well.
Yeah. The only one that absolutely did not work by any stretch of imagination was the Guardians of the Galaxy crew.
No.
Oh, did you? No, that's interesting. See? I thought they did
and
work.
And I liked Rocket and Groot with Thor.
You're right. I think Rocket and Groot with Thor was good. I like that. But all in all, the way Guardians of the Galaxy was excellent in and of itself, but I think when you bring it into that other, it's almost like it's a completely different style of film. So when you bring the two,
I like that about Thor. So what they did with Ragnarok is they changed Thor quite radically from the other two films and brought the more space side of things, sort of universal galaxy of Magic. Marvel, they brought that into it and brought the color scheme up and the laughs per minute more in line with Guardians, which meant that
there
as
was an
soon
easier
as he went
transposition.
In, that felt really natural.
And I quite like the clash between the Guardians and Tony Stark and Doctor Strange. That's a really interesting dynamic because they're all big
because
characters.
Doctor Strange is like a leader in his own right. And I think he's getting set up to be the next leader of Avengers.
It'll be him or Marvel.
Yeah.
See, I just thought, I didn't think that the contrast worked. I just thought it was too, I thought it was too much. And I think Chris Pratt's character, Star-Lord, I just Chris Pratt is honestly love Chris Pratt in almost anything, but I just thought I thought it clanged. I think whether it was a problem with his dialogue or it's just the way, it's just the tone and tempo of the way that they talk.
I enjoyed some of the bits individually, but I just think when you put them all together, it didn't quite.
It's less than the sum of its parts.
It didn't seamlessly flow together like it has in other films, but again, this is a bigger cast.
Yeah.
Can I just say about Hulk? I didn't like what we did with Hulk.
I hated Hulk in this film. I liked that a lot.
Fuck.
I thought that was...
I liked that they neutered him, and obviously that...
Just for listeners who haven't... we're talking about... Well, you've probably seen it, but Hulk who... So Bruce Banner, who is Hulk, he was saying, oh, come out, Hulk, and Hulk got beaten up by Thanos quite early on, and then seems to be scared to come out. Yeah. That's what it seems
but
to be, anyway.
Is he scared, or is it more like a pride thing? Because essentially, Hulk is only about 2 years old, because he'd only existed in reality as for 2 years when he was on the planet.
Yeah, the portal. The place in Ragnarok.
So it's like, is it like a 2-year-old Huff?
Planet Hulk. Let's just call it. Yeah.
Is it like a 2-year-old Huff that is...
It also works for the film because as soon as you introduce Hulk in, it's like it all becomes about Hulk smash.
Yeah.
Which actually is incredibly boring. Yeah. He comes in as like the secret big gun sort of thing. In the same way that you bring Superman in the other films, like you bring him in and it's like, okay, well now it's more or less going to be over because he's so powerful sort of thing.
Something else I was surprised that I didn't like his performance was Peter Dinklage.
Oh, it was rubbish.
That was really bad. Can we address something really right here now? Peter Dinklage is in fucking everything right now.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
It's because he's nailed it.
He is actually a phenomenally talented actor.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Like, there's I quite like
that he turned up. I didn't expect that. Yeah, and the character so that they had him play, I think it worked for me.
As a giant dwarf.
Yeah,
which
but,
is weird.
But it was his voice. Yeah. And he acted was hammy as fuck.
It was like really weird.
It was like Princess Leia floating around the sky in Star Wars.
That is what it was like.
I completely agree.
Yeah. But like, going back to the Bruce, like the Hulk thing, Bruce Banner was the thing that pissed me off because like he just sort of came off as sort of like a bumbling fool in a lot of moments in the film. Bruce Banner.
But he kind of is.
Yeah, but he still has some amount of basic knowledge and intuitiveness. He lacked a lot of it. And I don't know why.
I don't know, because it's always about how he's a science geek.
This also
and
felt...
I think they got that over quite well.
This also felt more like a Marvel Studios film than the other Russo Brothers films, which didn't feel like Marvel Studios film. This is more like Avengers Age of Ultron than the first Avengers film, where it's much more...
It's an A to B. But
I think
they did a really good job. I think the next film is going to be very different. I say, I think it's going to be condensed.
A different tone and style. Because
it was originally titled Part 1 and Part 2, but the Russo brothers said, no, we want Red of X are completely different, and it doesn't make sense for them to call Part 1 and Part 2.
Where... I reckon what this next one will probably be called, and the reason they've kept it so quiet is it will be Infinity Gauntlet. That kind of happened in the comic books, is that we had Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet, and then what it's all about is getting the gauntlet.
Getting there first.
To use it to... It's the only thing that they can do to fix everything. So I think it's going to be more about that, and whether or not that's battling Thanos again, there'll probably be something... Again, I reckon...
Thanos is retired. He's taking up cross-stitch.
Well, I reckon...
drawing lovely landscapes.
One of the things that never happened in this film is there was never a moment where, apart from Gamora, nobody really spoke to Thanos like in a debate-y type way. It happens in the comic books.
I think both Tony
and Steve in the comic books like have almost like a heart-to-heart with him and have a really sort of like well balanced conversation about why he thinks that and is there another way. So I think there's going to be something along those lines come along in this film where it's not going to be about fighty. It's going to be a like a proper sort of like
Thanos becomes an Avenger.
Well, it happens.
Nah, I tell you, retires to do his watercolours in Cornwall. That's what just takes a job as a sous chef at Rick Stein's restaurant. Yeah. I don't know, like something like that would be excellent.
But yeah, overall, like I say, I enjoyed it.
Did you get any of those bits? You know, like the bits when you're watching a really good film and something happens where you like you kind of know it's going to happen and it happens and it delivers what you wanted to happen.
Uh-huh.
Like the only bit I thought I really liked in that bit was when Thor appears over Wakanda. I just like absolutely smashes his brand new fucking hammer right down.
Right.
He starts wiping out like hundreds of folk. Like that was the only bit where I was like, you know the bit in Waverly Station, the silhouette, and it's Captain America. Mm. I was like, who is that? Don't recognize. Oh, it's Captain America. All right.
See, I liked the Edinburgh. I forgot.
Where were the goths in Coburn Street, guys?
I like the sign in the background as well. Yeah.
We deep fry everything.
What was it? We'll deep fry your kebab.
Yeah, that was a good sign.
I like that. But I quite enjoyed that. Again, it's that thing of knowing the place as well.
Yeah. Ralph was saying somebody he knew that was their idea of a sign.
Yeah. But that bit in Edinburgh was kind of cool. Just seeing one of your home.
Yeah, that's cool.
In a major film like that.
At the end, thanks to Network Rail.
Creative Scotland.
Network Rail is probably filming the Avengers that made my fucking train late.
Yeah.
They also filmed it on the platform. They also filmed a bit on the, I'm pretty sure it was a platform, is it platform 19?
Yeah.
Dunfermline train.
So if you wondered why you were late home that night, it's because there's an intergalactic battle going on.
So here's my question for you. Out of everybody in the film, who was your favourite character?
Thor.
Yeah.
I think Thor was the standout in that.
It was almost a Thor film.
It's basically it's Thor a little bit of Rocket Raccoon, because Rocket is good in everything because he's just a psychopath.
The bit when Bucky runs up and grabs him and spins round, and they do the kind of Groot Rocket thing from the two films.
Yeah, that was quite good.
And it was just like, and then he drops him, and he was like, what was it, how much for the gun? And he was like, it's not for sale. And he's like, what about the arm? And he's like, he just walks off. He's like, I'll get the arm.
Do you think that them replacing his arm and not having a big Soviet star on it is because he's going to be the new Captain America?
Well, no, well, they were bringing up as the White Wolf, wasn't it?
Well, they're
but it's the same.
It'll be he's going to be Cap, I reckon. It's either that or they'll give it to Falcon, because he's also been Captain America.
Wait, Captain America's different people.
Oh yeah, well, Captain America's a moniker. It's not
a particular person.
A particular person.
All right, okay.
So, same thing's happened with Thor as well.
Yeah, well, yeah. Currently in the books, it's Thor's Jane Foster is Thor.
You know what? I would love to see the sort of alternate. I know this is kind of going off on a bit of a tangent, but I'd love to see that sort of alternate universe Captain America, the one that he is from. He is a member of Hydra.
It's not really alternate universe. Yeah, that was main universe. Yeah. But then it kind of worked out that he was.
But he'd always been alternate universe. Yeah. I loved that. Did anyone make, hated it
has
so
anyone
much.
Made a, like, what's her name? Scarlett Johansson's character.
Black Widow.
Did they ever make a film of her?
No.
They've
got a script.
Apparently, I saw a headline today, but apparently they've met with 50 directors.
More than that.
So, like, to talk about
one of the things I was hearing is that...
Because that could be... It might genuinely
it could
good.
Be really
like,
good.
Like, that could be a great period piece.
It's either that or it's her swan song out of it to do her own film. The other thing that I'd read is that they could do, like, almost a full sort of women's team-up type thing. But it's her film, but they'll have, like...
Captain Marvel.
Or not necessarily Captain Marvel, but like Shuri.
All right, okay.
Or one of the Dora Milaje, and maybe Scarlet Witch, because again, it'll be a way to bring her in. Because essentially, going forward, I don't think we'll have many films where it will just be one character. They've discovered that the team-ups work. So having like Hulk and Thor, and having Captain America and Scarlet, and...
Spider-Man.
No,
Black Widow.
Black Widow. And like these.
It's also
kind
for
of,
rights issues as well.
And then Spider-Man and Iron Man. And, you know, it's like bringing in other characters that don't necessarily need another film, but tells a bit of the story about where they've been and what they've been doing.
I'd be keen to see what's going to happen if this Disney deal comes through.
With Fox?
Yeah.
I don't know.
See, that'd be. You know, the likely endings in the next one we've already discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I think my dream ending would be that they get the gauntlet, use the reality stone, and then X-Men come in. Because they were originally part of the Infinity War. Yeah. And then the X-Men come in, recast them, only one is the same as Deadpool.
No. What they do is they don't do that. Deal goes through, they bring the X-Men into the universe, new cast, and then 5 years down the line, the next big event film is Avengers versus X-Men.
I was going to suggest they could do, which I quite like this graphic novel.
One of my favorite comic book series.
One of the ones
that's
I'd like
a
to.
Wanking sign for listeners there.
One of the things I'd like to
Cut really likes this shit.
And one of the things I'd like to see that would be coming out on the
literally got a pile. I've got a pile of 120 comics upstairs.
Tissues from wanking over comics.
120 comics that I have forgotten to read, and I'm so happy that I've got that many to sit and plow through.
Motherfucker.
So, James.
Oh, can I talk now?
Yeah.
Yep. Ball bags. Anyway.
That's what we're saying.
But one of the things I'd like to see that would be quite interesting if this thing happens, and it's one of the graphic models I quite have a little good giggle about, is Deadpool versus the Marvel Universe.
That is a very good book. But also,
it'd be a tricky film to do.
Yeah, it would be very. It would have to just be a pure Deadpool film.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
totally,
and not affect anything outside.
I don't think it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be like an MCU film or about.
It would
be
like
that
a
sort of spin-off.
You could have it within MCU because you can do that with Deadpool. You could have him jump in and out of the whole MCU and killing characters basically. But it would then have to have an end where it was reset or something. You know, it would just be like a bubble.
Can I just say something I forgot to mention earlier, which was that I was watching it with Five Clubber Dave Rogers, who was not that impressed. But he said afterwards, he was like, so, because he hadn't seen Black Panther.
All right.
And he was like, so what's with the tribe who somehow have magical technology? And I was like, they explained that quite well. They made that seem not weird in Black Panther, which I was surprised because I was like, how are we going to do this? But they made it seem not weird somehow in the film. But if you hadn't seen Black Panther, obviously it didn't work for him. He was like, what the fuck's this about?
See, because I was speaking to somebody who hadn't seen Black Panther as well, and I was like, you probably don't. I was like, the film you probably do need to see is Thor Ragnarok. Like, if there's any one film you need to see going into it, would be that.
That's my favourite of them.
What's
the director?
Tika
Waititi.
Yeah. I thought that was genius.
Tika Waititi. He's very good. And they need to keep doing that. They need to keep letting directors in who will give their own twist to it.
Well, that's why Thor works. Because the first one was done by Kenneth Branagh.
And that actually worked
because it was, again, high camp.
And then the next
then
one was by one of the Game of Thrones directors, which, again, was a natural fit for it, I think.
Yeah, and then you bring in, can't say his name.
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Can I just add my final wrap-up point about this? What do you guys think about the runtime of it?
I didn't bother me, but, you know, again, like I've always said, throw more of that at me and I will throw all my money at you.
I might have been affected by being in one of the cinema screens that hadn't been refurbished. So my ass was sore. And I got a sore rib just now as well. So that wasn't helpful. Can I just ask? I didn't mind the runtime once I got into it. Mm-hmm. But did you guys think the audio? See, when I went to see it, I thought the dialogue was a wee bit quiet.
No.
Well, I had an entirely different cinematic problem, which was the cinema was actually too fucking light. I don't know.
They have cleaning lights. Sometimes they leave them on.
No, I asked them. Like, I actually went out in the middle of the film to say, and they were like, no, the lights are down. But I was like, honestly, the cinema is a lot less dark than it used to be.
Yeah.
It's probably just so people can eat nachos in the fucking back. Christ almighty.
So that was just the screen I was in, not the mix then?
I didn't notice any issues with the sound.
I thought it was a really easy 2.5 hours to sit and watch that film.
2 hours 40 minutes.
2 hours 40 minutes.
Plus credits,
yeah.
But then, like, compare that to Star Wars, I felt it was a slog. And then you're looking at The Avengers, which is a much more...
I think you've said, Mark, that pacing was a problem for you.
I didn't think pacing was great.
I didn't find that at all. I thought the pacing was... It was just breakneck, like, boom, boom,
but that's
boom,
why I didn't
boom,
like it.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
I thought that made it just it seemed like it was going through and they got through so much.
This is why my point about it being like Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord of the Rings got that different groups doing different things and the way they devoted the time to the groups and the narrative came together quite well. This to me felt like it was breakneck, it was a bit disjointed.
My kind of feeling is that they've managed to do all that, a lot of the relationships already through the other films, so it gave them the ability to then do it a bit more sort of breakneck. I mean, it was an impossible task, I think, and they've managed to do a really good job of a very difficult task.
I think that's an absolutely fair point. Mm-hmm. I think making a film like that is really difficult.
I think it was very ambitious, but they didn't quite hit all the marks for me. But I would like to see it again.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am quite often overcritical of films the first time I see them. And then the second time, you go, it was actually fine. What was wrong with it?
Fair dues.
I was happy with it. I thought it was a really good film. Really enjoyable. Really easy to take in.
Yep.
It put a lot of good characters together in the right places.
It's left me asking
I want to
loads
know what
of
happens
questions.
Next. Yeah,
loads of questions that I can answer, or I think I can answer, but I'm still asking them, and I'm finding that quite entertaining. I'll go into it very quickly. Was anybody annoyed by Scarlet Witch's accent changing?
Yeah.
No, that didn't annoy me at all.
It seemed really weird to me.
It seemed different, but it seemed
to go in and out for me. Like,
yeah.
I kind
of
felt like...
There's been a load of people whinging about it, but it didn't really bother me. I didn't even think about it.
But then I was like...
I didn't notice it, but it didn't ruin it for me.
But
I was sitting thinking,
that seems a bit weird.
One, they're undercover. Two, she's been carting around with a whole load of Americans for 3 years. Her accent's going
to
change.
What's her accent supposed to be?
So her accent was like a
Eastern European.
Yeah, yeah, was offensive Eastern European.
Basically Lithuanian, sort of. That sort of style.
Okay. In the first sort of film, it was strong. Second one, they kind of doused it a little bit, and then this one, it was not almost not.
Gone from generic Slav
to American. But like I was saying, like yeah, she's been hanging around with Americans and is undercover. So
something we didn't mention quickly. What about Red Skull?
Oh yeah,
that was surprised.
And it's also not Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, yeah,
I was like, is that Hugo Weaving?
That was a surprise. I didn't really expect.
Although it does make sense in a sense. Like, I remember reading back on it, I was like, oh, so it does. That makes a lot of sense.
Why he was in the like a dream state or something. What was that? What happened when the Red Skull was in it?
That was when they went to the planet to find the Soul Stone,
and he had to kill Gamora.
And
he was like the gatekeeper.
Oh right, okay,
yeah.
Okay. Why was he there? What was he doing there? So holidays?
He got sucked into the Tesseract in Captain America. Everybody sort of like was, is he dead or is he somewhere else?
Because in the next, in Avengers, he comes through.
The Tesseract threw him out on that planet and he ended up being the keeper of the Soul Stone.
I mean,
he's got a time share on this new planet.
This is a loose end that took short of a decade to tie up. What a world we live in.
Last thing I'll say on this, he played the part, Red Skull, of the guy in Atmosphere very well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Atmosphere game. That's what he seemed like to me. Yeah.
Anyway. Agreed.
Yeah.
So, we've gone on a fair bit here.
How long have we done?
An hour.
Wow. Well, it's we got a... Sometimes we gotta go.
Yeah, we'll come to an end to this, but I think we've really talked the arse out of it.
Yeah, it's we need to go to sea.
We'll go on a wee boat trip.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to go to Radio 4 and join us on the desert island of Dix.
That was a bird noise for audio scale.
It was, yeah. So yeah, we're back with the desert island of Dix. A great way to start off the new season. And we're here. How did we get here?
Windsail, you prick. Why a wind sail? You could be like, oh, it's budget cuts. Like, nah, you could have got a proper boat, but nah, you'd be like, now we've got a wind sail. Sorted.
Thanos clicked this year. By mistake.
We're meant to be part of the 50%, but instead we ended up on a desert island.
We're going to start a series where we're... Edit that out.
Speaking of Thanos clicking you places, do you know there's a website going about just now where you just click on it and it tells you if you died or if you were spared?
I died.
I was spared every time I did it.
I died. Maybe it remembers your IP.
All right. Because I thought it was just a page that said you've been spared because, well, you're still...
You need some comfort to get you through the day.
No, I did it and it said Thanos has killed you for the greater good of the universe or something like that.
That does really raise very sort of deep philosophical questions about how can I read this if I'm dead?
We're gonna have a lot of existential crises on our hands. Yeah,
the Wi-Fi's sick in purgatory. Purgatory? Fuck off, I'm over. Obviously going to hell. No waiting room for me. Straight down.
That's true purgatory. Sitting in a room, it's like you've died. You're like, oh, I'm waiting to go to hell. It's like, I'll get the Wi-Fi up. No Wi-Fi. You're just sitting there with nothing.
It's not no Wi-Fi. It's you can see there's Wi-Fi, but every time you select it, it says it's just, waiting on validation.
That's the worst.
But yeah. So, we're here... some of us via windsail, some of us because Thanos clicked us here. Fair enough.
Kind of feel like I prefer the Thanos clicking me here. You'll get there quicker, a bit more safe, you know. Windsails are a hell of a journey up the Atlantic Ocean.
We're back on our fucking island once again. But this time, we thought we would go on theme with the rest of the topic of today and decide what superhero items would you bring? What sort of... paraphernalia from a superhero would you bring?
Can I go first?
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, the first thing I thought about bringing was the Eye of Agamotto, which is Doctor Strange's time crystal, which is an ex-Deus Machina machine, which gets him out of any problems. And if any of you died, it would take away any emotional weight to it as well. So I'd either seen it coming or could have just fucking changed it back. But then I thought, that's a party pooper. I can change stuff too easily. So I decided on Star-Lord's Walkman.
Alright.
As a superhero item to bring along.
Okay.
Because you'll all have crazy weapons and shit. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be sitting there listening to fucking tunes.
That's good, Jamie. Time. That's good because you'll be there for the taking.
Can I just say I have not thought about weapons? Well, it's banging tunes on that though. Again, yeah, like that's the good thing about Guardians of the Galaxy. Again, was like it was the soundtrack.
Yeah, it's a glorified music video for old songs.
Absolutely. It was fucking brilliant.
Both films as well, they've got cracking soundtracks. And it really, really reminded me that Mr. Blue Sky is a fucking great song from Yes as well.
I think the music thing, cause, you know, you talk about that a lot when your kid's like, as well as like, would you rather be blind or deaf, which is a completely insensitive and ridiculous question. But I always said blank, so I can't imagine
living without music.
I could probably get by with books, and I could listen to books still as well, and it wouldn't be as good. But to me, music's much more important. Mm-hmm. So,
I think I'd probably be the same, actually. Yeah. Listening, music, and all that kind of stuff, is a primary task of mine.
So in other words, it would give me emotional weight, unlike the latest Avengers film.
Yeah, no, I think that is perfectly valid.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I was going a slightly similar thing. I kind of thought of two items. Mm-hmm. So one of them was Captain America's shield.
Okay. That's good.
Because, well, basically it would be quite a useful tray for like holding the drinks. Yeah.
also a frisbee as well.
Yeah, exactly. Frisbee. On good game beach. Of frisbee on the beach. Bit of ultimate frisbee, like the wankers at Edinburgh Meadows. Yeah. No one actually plays ultimate frisbee. You helmets.
Also, I'm thinking for you and your cocktails.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you get it on the tray and then you give the tray a bit of a dong from underneath and the vibrations, you know, the
good mix.
The sonic, would maybe help give you an interesting twist to your mixes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I've taken a second item with me as well. After Maxie's fat shaming of me the other week, I thought I would bring the Incredible Hulk's trousers. because when he turns from Bruce Banner into the Incredible Hulk, his trousers magically manage to, they slightly tear a little bit, but at the same time, they're still there. They still keep you modest. Yeah. Yeah. So at the same time, I think that, but then on the desert island, let's face it, we're probably going to lose weight.
Well, you say that. Hurley never lost any weight in Lost.
Well, that's true.
No. I didn't even mean that, a double loss. But but that's because it was all in his head, obviously.
Yeah.
That was my favourite fan theory. It's like, why hasn't Hurley lost weight? It's because it's all in his head.
Yeah.
Hit his head on the landing.
Yeah, that's fair enough. There was a guy dressed up when we went to see the film. There was a guy dressed up. Well, I say dressed up. He was had some green face paint on and like a really shit muscle suit and some normal clothes. But the problem was, he was obviously trying to be the Hulk, but he had fucking like torn jeans on. I was like, they're not purple. If they're not purple, what the fuck's the point? He's always got purple fucking trousers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the trademark. It's just like, you're not the Hulk. Who are you? Fuck off. Anyway, I'm a purist like that.
There's a hidden storyline there that the Hulk is actually a member of a intergalactic royal family or something. It's a royal colour.
Yes, yeah.
Purple, yeah. Yeah, fair enough. I quite like that. That's good. And you'd be good at any banquets or anything like that. You'd never have to undo a button like the rest of us.
Yeah, no, exactly. I'm totally sorted.
Super stretchy. Yeah,
they just go up and down. It's absolutely perfectly fine.
You've got the trousers to deal with the physical problems you may encounter, and the shield to stop Magsy's bitchy comments.
Yeah, exactly.
So just hold up the shield. Can't hear you, Mags. Shaming me.
Break your fucking teeth with my shield.
Fair enough. James.
I feel like a bit of a cheaped out option now, because I had a couple, And I was trying to tie them into my annual Honey Badger Pamploma. I wanted a bit of fun. So I was thinking about maybe swiping the Mind Stone so I can kind of alter things to my good benefit. You know, we need to convince the Honey Badger to do this somehow, some way. You know, sometimes pissing it off is one way, but sometimes you just go to the Mind Stone and go after Jamie has a Walkman.
Yeah, Jamie's Walkman.
So my plan would be to use the Mind Stone to infiltrate the mind of the Honey Badger, and I'd kick Dave in the shins, as we suggested, take his legs out so it gets to him first, and then a point at Jamie because he has the Walkman. So effectively, I'd be kind of changing the rules of the pamphlet. So basically, I would win every time. And then, again, to make it interesting in terms of sabotage, I would just go between you guys and just be like, you need to take out Craig. You need to take out Kutch. Right, you do this. And I'm going to go after Jamie and his Walkman. Basically, I want to try and steal your Walkman without actually attacking you.
I've got a shield now, so it's fine.
I've got to convince Honey Badger to be my clipper.
Yeah.
Watch out, the Badlands, people, it's back. It's so stupid, it's great.
And then my backup option would have been Iron Man's nanotechnology suit from the most recent Avengers film, because it's like, no
it's
doubt that Honey Badger,
tool, isn't it?
Yeah, and that Honey Badger's going to tear into you anyway, so you might as well have something that rebuilds itself so you don't die as quickly, because it's going to get you eventually, let's be fair.
I'm worried about that suit at the start, because I was like, it's just going to rebuild. You know, they showed it, and it's going to be able to do anything. However, what I liked was when he was fighting Thanos, is that it clearly was taking damage, and that it wasn't repairing.
It did work.
Yeah, so I was like,
because I thought that, I was like, oh, this seems a bit, oh, it's nanotech.
Yeah.
That's all they said about it.
Yeah.
And Spidey obviously had one as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, it just ended up being wrecked. That's kind of cool. Yeah. But yeah.
I mean, I was going to suggest the Flash's running shoes, but the problem with that is you can't really have his shoes and run fast. It was the fact that he was fast.
Yeah, he was fast. That he was hit with a bolt of...
Sonic is a legit superhero.
Kutch used to have sonic speed boots.
He did used to have sonic speed boots.
Yeah, and what did they do? Slowed me down in fucking airports.
Are they not also worn by Maxi Jazz of Faithless as well?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. He's obviously a Sonic fan as well. And
I just think that was really cool.
Didn't even think as far as like Mario and Sonic there. I had a plethora of ideas.
They're legit
there.
Superheroes.
I could have got myself a flame flower and all shit like that. That'd be outstanding.
Have you seen a meme? It was from years ago, and it was based on Sonic fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And all the meme is explaining to the president about the Sonic universe and the Chaos Emeralds. Obama saying, oh, you're speaking about the Chaos Emeralds. It's become this massive meme that's all over the internet. It's something that I can't remember where. It's been a few years since it was at its peak, but it was absolutely amazing. There's now pictures of it after Trump got inaugurated. It was pictures of Mr. Trump. We have to explain to you about the
Chaos Emeralds.
It's so stupid. Like it's a thing that's passed on to presidents.
Yeah. Like the JFK shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If only Trump would get that.
Dear.
What would happen if you had the Infinity Stones and then you had the Chaos Emeralds? Like, one, if say Thanos had the Infinity Stones and then Sonic had the Chaos Emeralds. Holy shit! That'd be carnage.
So you'd have Super Sonic versus Super Thanos.
Let the games begin.
That'd be interesting. Never actually thought about the Chaos Emeralds are essentially.
Yeah, that's probably where they come from.
Yeah.
Just like the Death Egg is the Death Star.
Yeah.
Just steal nicked. Everything.
I mean, I totally postponed the Honey Badger Pamplona on it, I have to say. I'd hold everything off for that fight. But that's for another episode of Fife Club.
Well, I'm going totally practical, as I usually do. I'm going to bring Spidey's web shooters.
Yeah,
because I reckon there's some definitely practical uses in there, although there is a disadvantage to it. But I could make myself a comfy hammock to sit in.
That's a great point.
Problem with that is that it will dissolve after an hour. So
you could swiftly steal Jamie's Walkman.
I'd have a 59-minute sleep before I'd have to be able to jump out
before you'd fall on your arse. Yeah. I think practical two palm trees, spider webs between them,
mm-hmm.
bit of beach badminton
or
volleyball as well.
Yeah.
And you can make a ball out of the webbing
definitely. Oh, and depending on which version, I mean, I could bring one of the more later versions, which have things like steel steel webbing, acid webbing, you know, all different types of tools as well. But if
acid
we were
webbing
just,
sounds like a party.
If we were just going for traditional and it was just the webbing, I think, again, useful there. The honey badger's getting a bit out of control, or Dave, we can just, you know, pin him down with some webbing. An hour timeout. Like, mate, it's time for a timeout.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Or as it would be in the comic books. yeah, I think there's many practical applications there. Again, you're needing a wee bit of glue for something.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, as you say, it only lasts an hour then.
Yeah, yeah, but
that's not very, that's not great.
Look, we're on a desert island.
Let me do it here.
We could have a sort of economy going.
Uh-huh.
Always about building an economy.
Son of a bitch.
Here he is.
I could trade an hour of listening to the Walkman,
uh-huh,
which I'm recharging my solar panels, probably ever, like, for an hour of hammock lying.
That's right.
It's like a leisure economy.
I could sort of services.
It's a full service economy.
It's like power naps. I could sell power naps between two palm trees on an island.
But obviously enforced by the honey badger, who's now my clipper and regent, so that if you don't want to partake in the leisure economy, you don't really have a choice. So I need leisure tax, that's what I need.
Leisure tax.
Every fucking cabal on the island, you're
turning everything into a racket, like, literally.
Well, actually, that's ironically what we do need is a couple of badminton rackets and a shuttlecock.
I'm looking forward to the
again, the weapon can make the again, we have to replace it every hour, but, you know.
I'm looking forward to the episode where Jamie decides to bring the Gestapo onto the island.
He's already brought the KKK.
Fear for sport killing only. Let's be clear here.
Fuck's sake.
The mafia is where the domination begins. That's where, like...
Wow. Yeah, so that's what I would bring, I think. Yeah, that's not a bad wee collection of things, though.
I think, pleasing.
I think, again, we can swap and mix and make sure we can keep Dave down in the honey badger away.
Yeah. It's almost like the slogan for NATO was, what was it? Keep the Americans in... keep the Americans in, the Germans down, and the Russians out.
Oh my god, we're making a desert island dicks NATO now.
Need to protect ourselves
somehow, some way.
Much like our podcast, NATO is nowadays bullshit that means nothing.
Unless you want to invade a country.
Ask Ukraine.
Oh dear.
Ouch. Oh, well, fair dues. So, will we make our way off this fucking island?
Yeah, probably.
Can someone
give
Thanos a call and say, can we please not do that again?
Can you just kill us? We got sent here by... There's been a clerical error. Yeah.
Here's a question. So, 50% of all life... I was thinking the other day about this, and it
who would you kill?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean to say 50% of every planet or every civilization, because if you look at what was left on Titan, was like Tony, the Guardians, and whatnot, and they all disappeared, bar Tony and
yeah.
So, do you reckon there could be whole planets, whole civilizations disappear?
That would kind of defeat his purpose, though, because unless you can migrate, people can migrate between planets.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that it would, but it wouldn't, because it's about the universe being finite, and that would then mean that there's another planet out there.
I think, though, in general, it should average out, so you might have a few planets that have been completely wiped out, some that have been two-thirds wiped out,
and some that aren't.
And one planet where there's just people with, like, only their legs and only their torso.
For example, on this planet, maybe only Trump disappeared. You know, that, I mean, he didn't, but that could have happened. Yeah. You'd be like, what the fuck just happened? He just thought he'd, wait, God, he really wanted to get out of that urine. Yeah.
He really didn't want to do the rest of this presidency.
Thanos is so great. He got me out of this.
I just want to mention with Trump that there was a ridiculous story this week that Cohen, who was like his fixer man. I didn't know this. Was this, I think he was the COO or CEO of Affliction MMA, which was one of the biggest MMA promotions in the sort of late noughties.
Noughties, yeah.
It was, yeah. That is so fucking strange. Yeah. But I just wanted to mention that. That is so bizarre.
The best bit of Trump news this week was the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Was it Michelle
Rodriguez? Which he didn't turn up to again. Is that right?
Did he not?
No, he didn't.
He didn't turn up. Because he knew he'd get ripped. He got absolutely torn to bits.
Yeah.
That's one of the best things I've seen in ages.
Mm. Yeah. That's really a lot of her jokes were like, it kind of made it even better because half the room weren't they were a bit too edgy for them, jokes. And they didn't like it.
Far too edgy. To be fair,
Obama has set an outrageous standard for those things.
Yeah.
He can take a roast and he can dish them out as well.
Mm-hmm. But that's how we got President Trump, though.
Yeah. I remember that. That was a cracker.
That was the mic drop.
Because I can't remember what he said, but I remember cutting to Trump going, you fucking asshole. he's like, he had that little smile, but he was hating it. He was having a horrible time after that line from Obama when he got smoked.
So it's all funny till you elect a white. It's all funny till someone elects a white supremacist as a president.
Yeah. All fun and games.
It's like Theresa May. They're trying to find a way to get rid of him, but it's just not going to happen, is it? Such a painful day.
Yeah.
Even Amber Rudd got the heave-ho.
There was a good "Have I Got News for You" thing on Facebook the other day, which was summer might be coming early because May's not going to last that long.
That's a good one. We had a situation at our work the other day where somebody that I know called June and somebody that I know called Summer were sitting back to back. So June was at the back of Summer. Summer was at the back of June.
Yeah,
it was just like, nice. I don't like it.
Sounds like you set up to a terrible porn film. Not with those people at your work, because I don't know.
I don't know them, but they might be close.
Yeah, closet. Maybe. Yeah, maybe it'll
might
work.
Be closet fiends. Who knows?
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, I think it's that time of the evening where we have to say, James, what is the motto this week?
Go see the Avengers, because quite frankly, nothing else really matters, because when someone clicks their fingers with an infinity gauntlet, everyone disappears by 50%, so you've got a 50-50 chance of surviving. So, take the plunge, do what you want to do, be happy, live life as much as you can. Yeah. I don't know where we're with that.
Either that or kill yourself in ritual suicide to make the universe a better place.
Kill yourself in ritual suicide.
That's the other message of that film. That's the other message of that film.
Don't worry, Jamie, I'm in.
Team Thanos.
Or the slightly more PG one is the annual Honey Badger pamphlet is coming soon, so please apply with the Fight Club podcast email address with your name, address, and credit card details. Move it in as soon as we can.
Did you think Infinity War was shit? Let us know in the socials, I said earlier.
Yeah, just wait.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. 9.
Sorry, I just automatically reacted when I saw it. I was like, oh no.
And it was like, no, it's fine. There's plenty of time.
Battery running low. I was like, oh, where's the charger?
I was prepped.
I'm only halfway through my wife.
Thanks for the extra.
It's been 1 minute 30 seconds.
A marathon, sir.
Less than 2% battery left. Which, in fairness, is probably enough time.
Nah,
more than enough.
I could do it easily.